Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the One Board Podcast. My name is Rick White, and with me today is a man whose beard is amazing and a man who won't stop making me uncomfortable. I'll let you guys decide who is who. It's Bob Grawl and Ryan Gutowski. Hello, gentlemen.
I'm the one who makes him uncomfortable.
I'm pretty sure I got the beard down.
Yeah, I think we know we have been pigeonholed as these two people.
Yeah, that was pretty obvious.
Yeah. So this is a special edition podcast. This is not like our normal podcast, right, Rick?
Yeah, this is a special
edition.
It's going to be different. Because it's going to be us looking back at our time at Origins, which we just got back from this past weekend. And so we're kind of in between seasons here, but wanted to make sure that you guys got a chance to hear about all the cool stuff that we saw.
All those sweet, sweet games.
Yeah.
So I think we need to start off with Bob. This was your first experience at Origins. This was our second. So it's not like we're veterans or anything, but I wanted to hear, Bob, what you've had 24 hours to really soak in, like, you know what? Origins was blank. So Bob, fill out that sentence.
Has it been 24 hours?
Maybe.
I lost time.
I know. Our brains are still fried.
5 days. 5 days of nonstop gaming, talking, interviewing. Just, there was so much. If I was going to finish that sentence, it's probably Origins was exhausting.
Yeah, Bob was rocking very little sleep this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's not often that I get to be uninterrupted game time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not ever around that many like-minded people. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I don't get to talk to every day in person someone who is as excited about the latest things happening in the world of board gaming.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, at least when you do, they're like, please leave me alone, sir. I didn't want you to sit next to me on this bus, and you have done so anyway.
Sir, I don't even know you. Why are you talking to me?
Why are you putting meeples
into my hands? 17 other tables in this restaurant, and I don't know why you decided to sit next to me.
Because no one will listen.
Because you put a board game down in front of a person who's obviously trying to read a book, and they're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Please stop doing that. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it was part, like, okay, this is a once-a-year annual thing, and it's not. Well, let me say this. Origins is going to be once a year. But I'm also planning on going. I'm going to Southern Fry Gaming Expo with you, Ryan, and then I'm fairly certain I'm going to go to PAX.
And Rick, I think, Rick, you're going to Southern Fry, right?
Indeed.
Yes, sir.
Nice, Rick. Awesome.
It's not much of a drive for me, so.
Yeah.
So, but Origins is a once-a-year thing, an annual thing. And I didn't want to, although sleep is a requirement, I wanted to probably get as minimal amount of sleep that I possibly could function on. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying I was actually functioning on some of those days.
We got video of you not functioning.
There's video proof of me not functioning.
Yes. It's pretty wonderful.
It's brave. It's going to wind
that was up a ridiculous. That was a ridiculous video.
Yeah. But so let's talk about. So I think one of the things that we noticed about Origins this year, and Rick, you can come back me up on this. I think our first year at Origins, we spent a lot of time trying to network and trying to meet people. And we were trying to say, hey, listen, we're One Board family. We've been around for 2 years at the time. Actually, we're recording this right now. We're recording on our 3-year anniversary as a website. So, June 18th, I built One Board Family so in 2016. So exactly 3 years ago. But I mean, last year, I think we were at Origins trying to get our grasp of how to build relationships within the industry, how to build relationships with different publishers. And we had already had some relationships, but purely over through the internet, through Facebook and things like that. But this time it felt more familiar. You know, it felt more like family. It felt more like people that we knew we were running into. And it was cool to interact with people where it was like, hey, yeah, so we're One Board family. This is what we do. And somebody would say, oh, wow, I saw this video, or I listened to your podcast, or whatever. That was really neat. And I think it made us feel like, okay, we do have a space here somewhere, you know, which is neat. I don't know.
It's Rick, in the third stall down in the bathroom, but we have a space.
We have a space. It's reserved for us.
Yeah.
Rick, did you feel that way this year?
Yeah, I think part of it is just us, like, you know, we introduced ourselves to people and, you know, we got to say hello to those people again. And so we also got to spend some time playing games with folks that we generally just have, like, I guess, business conversations, you could say. You know, we went out one evening with Alan Girding and the Tuesday Night Games folks.
That was fun.
And had a really good time at Melt. It was the longest dinner of all time, but it was delicious. And involved lots of arcade games. So shout out to them. And then the Punchboard meetup, you know, we got to hang out with some folks that we have spent time with before. It was cool to talk with people, like you said, that listen to the podcast. And because, I mean, and it sounds a little like an ego trip. That's not really what it is as much as, you know, sometimes it can feel like we're throwing this stuff out into the void. And, you know, to know that some people, like, we played Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza at the Punchboard Media meetup, and, you know, it was a game that I said, hey, you know, I got this. Let's see if people want to play it. And then afterwards, you know, people went out and bought copies. So it's like we're introducing people to stuff that is fun, and they're enjoying themselves, and they'll take it back to their families. So we actually have a purpose. Yay for a purpose.
Yay. So I guess what most people came here for, what most people paid for, paid their $0 at the door, is that they want to hear about the games that we really enjoyed. So I think one of the first games that we saw when the when we were all kind of together, we saw the game Draftosaurus from Luma. And I think there's an imprint. I can't remember. Anika?
Anakama.
Okay.
And, yeah, Anakama, and I think it's, like, subsidiary, or maybe Luma had something to do with it.
Yeah. So Draftosaurus, I brought it to work today, and the way that I described it to my coworkers was that it is Sushi Go meets Herbaceous. Two great filler games that we love here at One Board Family, and it's just a lot of fun. Draftosaurus, you're drafting these dino meeples from your hand onto a board, and you're filling up your Jurassic Park area. It's very light. It's 15 minutes. There's not big swings. I mean, I played three times during lunch today because it's a 15-minute game. So we played three times during lunch, and I mean, I stayed within 5 to 6 points all the time, but there were some times when I got a bad hand of dinos and I had to make it work to the best of my ability. So,
you know, and if Jurassic Park has taught us anything, it's when you get a bad hand of dinos.
You
just got to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, one of the ways that you can deal with it is by killing, they don't say it, but I assume you're killing the dinosaurs and throwing them into the river. Because you have washed up dinosaur carcasses that are worth a point apiece. It's kind of dark. They don't say it. It's a very bright.
I play it that way.
Yeah. It's a very bright, shiny game, but I assume that somebody hit him with some crazy tranquilizers and then just threw that sweet dinosaur meat right into the river. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. No other options there.
Yeah.
Have you played the backboard?
I have not.
Okay.
Is it good?
I haven't either. I looked at it. The scoring is a little more intense.
Yep.
I mean, as intense as Draftosaurus can get. But, yeah, I need to play the backboard because it looks really good.
Yeah,
I played it.
You did? Did you like it?
So yeah, we demoed it with a guy, and then he kind of did the sideways glance and was like, you guys want to play the harder side? And we're like, what do you think we are, some kind of silly people? And then and then we played that. Yeah, the scoring, it makes it a lot. You have to pay a lot more attention. It's less forgiving, you know. In some of those other instances, like if you place a meeple in one little bad spot, it can get you. It does make it to where, because like your placement, a lot of it relies on the die. And so you don't get sometimes, you know, a plan just can't be executed because it's not really your fault. So that can be a little bit frustrating. But I mean, it's light and it's not that big of a deal. So
good.
I think
I was hoping for that. Yeah, though. But I was hoping for more tension.
I want more tension.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, that's what makes a game to me.
Yeah.
All the you know, tension. Something that keeps me on the edge of my seat.
Ryan, so what is a? Yeah, I was gonna say, what is something else that you guys remember or stood out to you at the meetup? I know. Well, actually, I've got one. Because Bob has already posted about it like 5 times on Facebook. Bob, tell us about Gem Hens, sir.
Gem Hens.
Oh, Gem Hens. Okay, so funny thing, Ryan, we played Draftosaurus at work yesterday. We played Gem Hens at work today. And, I don't know, man. Something about that game, it speaks to me. I like it. It's simple. It's set collection. It's got dice. And the theme. There's no other game that has chickens scratching for gems so that you can build a Fabergé egg.
That's really cool.
You're right. There's not much out there like that.
Yeah, I can't. I thought for about 3 seconds, and I couldn't think of one. Yeah. So, you know. But, yeah, it's a wonderful game.
Well, Social Sloth, that's what they did. They did market research on that cross-section of people who own hens and people who really like Fabergé eggs, and they found that that was what was missing.
It's based off of real life.
It's a deep study. So
It is.
Yeah.
And the game works wonderfully because of that.
Cool. I'm excited about playing it because I did not demo that, and I wish I had. You ended up buying a copy right away. And actually, we've been talking with Social Sloth through your Instagram account. It looks like a perfect fit for our audience.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's light to probably light to low mid is probably the weight. The low mid part is the strategic placement of the die because there are certain things you can do with the die. You have a 1, a 2, and a 3 die will actually move your chicken that many grid squares on the map, and you're spending those die to position your chicken better, to scratch better places, to pick up more gems.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a strategy that goes into how you actually play your dice and in which turn, and noticing what other dice people have and what they may play before you, and how they're going to position your chicken. So, and there's a whole shoving factor that comes into play. When you are moving forward on the map, you must spend dice to not only move, but dice to shove other chickens out of the way. So all of that comes in strategically planning to position your chicken to best get the gems that you want. So, like I said, it's light to low mid-weight, probably.
I love it it's got poultry and treasure together.
Yeah, poultry and treasure. Who doesn't like gems in a game?
That's true.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, Rick, I'm sure I will probably, we'll probably do a written, and if Ryan, if you want to, maybe we can do like a playthrough or
that would make my playthrough.
Maybe we can run some canned video.
Yep, that would be really good. So
yeah.
So Rick, tell us about something that you really enjoyed.
Yeah, Sunday, Adrian and I stayed back while you guys headed off early to get back home, and we tried out Felix kind of like on a whim from Social Sloth Games. And Felix is weird because I wouldn't classify it as a fun game. And that doesn't mean like that you shouldn't play it. Felix is an interesting game where you set out a board and then there are cards that represent different emotions that are really well illustrated and kind of use facial features to kind of get the emotion across. And then there are cards set up for playing the game with your family, with friends, or in a school situation. And in the questions, it basically asks you about a scenario. So it might say something like, you see a kid get pushed down in the hallway. And so what you have to do is determine what kind of emotion you would feel about that based on the 9 that are available, and you vote with cards to put that down. And then based on how many players you have, and it can be up to 8, I believe, you get randomly assigned to another person in the group, and you have to guess what emotion they would feel in that situation. and then they have to do the same for you, and then you reveal. If you get it right, you get a point, and the person that makes it through the most wins. It's not, and in that particular, the way that you win, in my opinion, doesn't really matter, because I ended up picking up a copy of the game because as a teacher of middle school students, I think this would be a really important game to play, because it's got the decks are pretty intense. Like, there were things like for the adult pack, it was like find out that they are allowing illegal immigrants to vote now, or something like that. Like, that was in there, and I was like, man, this is a game that could ruin relationships. It was intense.
I heard there was a PG and a PG-13.
Yeah, and it's not like that it's inappropriate. It's just that it's like, you know, it could lead to heavy conversations, and I think it's really good for the family cards too, I think, would allow for you to have conversation with your kids, and in my situation, you know, with my students about some somewhat tough scenarios. To me, it's a teaching tool more than a game, but I really was glad it was there. And it's a cool thing. I think games can do important things. We talked, you know, about those games in an interview a few episodes, the games that help you experience developing your own sign language and stuff like that. And I think those are the kinds of things that I would love to see more games doing, is having an impact rather than just, you know, you've got the most victory points. It's you walk away with some sort of different understanding of the world or something like that.
I will tell you that I saw this game, Mike Primo of Path of Play, when I was in the Path of Play room for a little bit at Origins. He was actually teaching some people how to play this. Some of the people who are part of, you know, the Path of Play movement. It was really good, because I think that there are some scenarios in that game that are really necessary. If you can gamify something where it opens a person up to share some emotions and share and be a little more vulnerable and to be real, I think that's an amazing game. So that's really cool. Definitely. That you got to play that before the end of the show. So
yep.
I'm not much of a Harry Potter person. Never read the books. Never. That's not been a connection for me or our family. We're not huge into Harry Potter. But I did play Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle Defender of the Dark Arts. It was a really good two-player dueling game. I was very impressed with how they handle the deck building. It is, you're going head to head. So I will pick my house, and then somebody picks their house, and the two houses are going head to head. You've got allies that you can recruit. You start with one ally, and then as you build your deck, you can actually recruit additional allies. You can play hexes against the other player, and what you're trying to do is trying to stun the other player. You knock them back using these lightning bolts, and then you knock them back to the point where you stun them, and that is a win for your house. So it's the best 3 out of 5, and I thought it was a very well done game. My only concern is the amount of time that it might take. If you're playing 5 full games, if it goes the distance, I could see this game lasting a good hour and a half at least. And Rick, actually, you bought a copy of this, correct?
Si, senor.
Yeah, it is a really, really solid game. And you have the original Hogwarts Battle deck building game. So what did you, I guess, because I don't have anything to compare it to, it's just a bunch of people around me that own the game. Like, how did you like checking it out at the OP booth?
Well, I unfortunately didn't get to play it, but I did see kind of, you know, how it is going to work. And I do think it's going to be a situation where the game in original form, the Hogwarts Battle version, you're all working together to fight the dark, you know, Voldemort and his allies and things like that. And it ramps up as you go through the different years. But yeah, I think it seems like it's kind of a, you know, Hero Realms kind of approach, where you've got your own deck building.
Yes.
Yeah. And you've got your own stuff, and you have to just manipulate your deck well in order to defeat your enemy. So it's something I got a copy of because we do love the Hogwarts battle, and so I think it'll be something we really enjoy.
And it was definitely like it had its roots in Star Realms. You know, that was one of the comparisons that kept coming up during our conversation, that it does have roots in Star Realms. It is that sort of game. And what you do is there's a lot of shedding of cards, which is good. It allows you to get rid of junk cards and really, you know, get your deck in a way. One thing I liked about it was you actually, going from battle to battle, you're actually continuing to keep that same deck. So as you finish up one battle and maybe you lost, but you built your deck in a way where the next round you're definitely taking it because you've trimmed your deck and you've gotten it to a point where you're going to be able to compete in the next round. So I dug it. Yeah. It was surprising Sweet. To me. I enjoyed it.
Yep. I'm excited to play it.
What you got, Bob?
Bob, tell us something, Bob.
Yeah guys. So, Aaron and I actually got a chance to sit down with Bruce Vogt from North Star, and we got to talk to him about some upcoming releases that North Star has coming over. And one of those was obviously the expansion for Quacks of Quedlinburg, which is phenomenal. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, it's Witches Brew or something like that?
Yes. I don't know what it is in German. Okay. Bruce said what it is in German. And we actually have some really good audio clips if you want to play that from Bruce, Ryan. Another interesting title is they have a brand new Wits and Wagers that they've redone and made into the Vegas version of Wits and Wagers, which introduces two new spots where you can actually, kind of like colors in Blackjack, where you can bet one-to-one, so half the side of the board or other half the side of the board, like a red and black on a...
Roulette table.
And all new questions in that game, and we got a chance to go through some of that stuff with Bruce when me and Aaron sat down with him. So those two games I'm excited about. Also, Dirty Pigs?
Dirty Pigs, yeah. That's actually... Yeah, Dirty Pigs, I looked that one up. Yeah, I looked that one up. Dirty Pigs is actually a game from 2012, but I don't know if North Star is just now pushing it out or this is an older game.
Yeah, it might be that North Star is just now pushing it out because I have never seen it anywhere. I'll tell you what, I see Happy Salmon all over the place. I've never seen Dirty Pigs.
So Dirty Pigs is really fun. They packaged, North Star packaged this in that same pig type of, you know, it's this little character that you put
the... Yeah, they ripped the skin off of pigs and stuff cards.
It's really cool. I really dig it. And so you stuff the pig with cards just like Grandpa used to do it. But yeah, Dirty Pigs... Yes, roast the pig first. You have to dirty all three of your pigs as quickly as possible. And people can put shelter over their pigs. They can wash other people's pigs. They can make it rain, which cleans all the pigs on the table, even your own. And so there's a lot of really cool little take that mechanics. And it's such a quick game. This is a game that we've actually played three times already since we've been home with the kids and with my mom. They were in town. And so we had a really fun time Dirty Pigs, now, let's go. And it's going to be in Aaron's purse anytime we go to the restaurant. Quick. It's going to be good. You spoke about Bruce sharing some of these things with you. I think this might be a great point to insert an interview that you and Aaron had with Bruce. So why don't we take a break? We're going to throw an interview in this episode here, and you can check out Bruce Vogt with North Star Games, and we'll be back on the other side of this break.
Do you do family games or no?
Yes.
Okay, well then let me show you Dirty Pig.
Ooh.
Dirty Pig is the next in our Happy Planet series. Do you already know Happy Salmon?
Happy Salmon, yes.
We love Happy Salmon.
Oh yeah.
Very good. So I'm gonna give you three pigs.
Okay.
I think we have like three or four copies of that. We do a lot of
Going to middle schools and elementary schools and taking games with us to teach kids and help their families come together. And we just teach lots of kids board games all at the same time. So we throw little tiny mini conventions for them at their school.
Okay.
And
it's
Happy Salmon. Yes, their families can come in.
The Happy Game is the family.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Happy Salmon is a very accessible, easy game to get to the table.
Yes.
A lot of interaction. Uh-huh. And the kids, they love it. Yes. So they get to run around and they get all, so it works really well. So that's what I'm saying. I think I have like 3 or 4 copies of Happy Salmon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, then I think you're going to get a kick out of this one. I'm going to show you what I call the magic trick, which is how you explain this game. The pigs are clean. Pigs are very unhappy when they're clean. They're happy when they're dirty.
Okay.
Easy to do. Play a dirty pig card, dirty up your pig. You win the game by getting all of your pigs dirty.
Okay.
Now, you don't want someone else to win, so as a farmer, you might come by and clean their pig. Pigs hate that. You're going to flip a couple over. The most efficient way to get all of the pigs clean is a rainstorm, because you're not only an agrarian, you're a weather wizard. If you do that, all the pigs get clean. Pigs hate that. They have learned that they can hide from the rain if they can manage to get themselves into a barn. So they will go into a barn. However, as a farmer, you can just go right in that barn and clean them. Pigs hate that. So they have learned just like real basic home improvement. And they have figured out how to put a door in the barn.
Wow.
If there's a door in the barn, you can't get in there and you can't clean the pig. And they love that. However, we have already established that you're not only an agrarian, you're a weather wizard, so you can just cause a lightning to burn the barn down.
Wow.
Pigs hate that garbage. So they, once again, we have established that the pigs are working on both engineering and real basic home improvement. So they have figured out how to put a lightning rod on top of the barn.
Wow.
If a pig is dirty in the barn with the door and the lightning rod, they cannot be cleaned. However, all you need to do is get 3 clean pigs. You don't need to worry about all this.
Okay.
Okay?
So they all start dirty?
They all start clean.
Oh, they all start clean.
You need to get them dirty to win.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The game's dirty pig, not clean pig.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Not a problem. Want to do any 3 cards?
This artwork is so cool.
Is this out already?
Yeah, no, this is out right now. It's literally at this show.
Awesome.
Yep, and then let me just move that over there, and then we'll move on to the next one.
Very cool.
Let's see. So you already know Quacks, right?
Yes, I know Quacks.
Okay, you already know about the expansion.
I know of the expansion. I don't know anything about the expansion.
Well, let's talk to you about the expansion. So, 5th player, color black.
Nice.
Next, let's new books.
Okay. Awesome.
New double-sided book for every element.
Okay.
End of the spoon now gets this.
Oh. Okay.
What this means is once you pass 35, no more powers.
Oh.
So you can't do the, my orange, I have 8 oranges, so my red goes up 4. No, it doesn't, not anymore. But for every point in here, divide them by 2, and you get that many points for it. So for every, value on the chip.
Uh-huh.
So if you end up with 18 points worth of chip value still in this, you're going to get 9 more points at the end of the game.
Okay.
I can't even tell you how many times I have reached 35 in my pot. I don't think it was many.
No. I had a guy tell me, he was like, yeah, I don't really like the game. And I've never seen he said, does it stop here? I've never seen a round where it doesn't pass that. And I was like, you are definitely doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess you're putting your droplet at the end of where you did your last move and you're starting there. And he was like, well, I don't remember. I don't think we did. I was like, there's no way. There's no way. I've done 20, 30 games of this. And every once in a while, somebody gets to the end of the hand.
Yeah, yeah. I've played this 50 times.
Yeah.
And I maybe 4 times.
Yeah. When we play with the family, we never.
Yeah.
And
I even try to take pumpkin mushroom, you know what I mean?
And there might be stuff, because I always am demoing it to new people, I only play book 1.
Okay.
So there might be something in books 2, or if you combine books that create some freaky combo that spins around. You also have what's called Loco Weed.
That's cool.
Loco Weed does not have a value. Its value is what its power is. So for this one, the value of Loco Weed is the number of rat tails you got plus 1 to a maximum of 4.
Oh.
Okay.
For this one...
So you need to stay behind.
You need to stay behind for these to work.
Wow.
Yep. And then for this one, it costs 10. The value of your Loco Weed is equal to the number of Loco Weed you've put out.
Okay.
So the first time you put it out, it's 1. The second time you put it out, it's 1. because you've only put one out.
Oh,
and then it's 1-1, and then 2-3-4.
Got it. Yep.
Yep.
Wow.
So that's Loco Weed. The next big difference, the one it's named after, are the Herb Witches. So at the beginning of the game, you're going to get 3 witch pennies in 3 different colors. Let's see. Yellow, red. There's a green book. Also, one thing I like to show, I just think this is really fun. So take a look at the... There is the box to Quack's equivalent book. There's the box to the witches. If you look, the witches are a few feet ahead of the scene.
Oh, look
in Quedlinburg.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That
yeah.
Really cool.
Which I thought was kind of neat.
Yeah.
So, the witches. The witches can help you. There are 3 different witch pennies. You get a gold, a copper, and a silver.
Okay.
They're going to give you different powers. In this case, spend my witch penny. And I will let 1 ruby get you your drop or refill your...
Ooh,
and you can do that for as many rubies as you have.
Okay.
If you spend my penny, take a look in your pot. For the number of different colors you have, I'll award you points right now.
Wow.
Look in your bag. Look at all the chips you have that are in these, that are these specific chips.
And
I'll give you 2
it?
Points apiece.
Oh, a piece.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Look at the space you're on. The number of points you're awarded is also the number of rubies you get this turn.
Wow. Whoa.
Over here, the amount you have to spend is doubled. The number of rubies you have currently gives you a value to spend +2 and an extra spending turn to use it.
So are these put out like books?
Yes.
Okay, so is there 1 of each silver?
Yes.
Okay.
So essentially what will happen is at the beginning of the game, you're going to get 3 literal pennies.
Okay.
And then you're going to have this.
So it's variable per game depending on which ones come out.
Yeah.
Okay, that is awesome.
So then in this game, a silver penny, if you explode, spend my penny, and you can still get all of the bonuses, including the die.
Is there a way to get any extra pennies in the game? Okay, so 3 pennies, and you're done.
You can use 1 penny each.
Yeah, 1 penny.
You can't
each.
Use multiple pennies. You have, like, literally, I have 1 blue penny, 1 red penny, 1 yellow penny.
Can you use...
No.
You're just taking 1?
So it's like your special ability.
It's your special ability. Now, you get to take each one once.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah, I can't spend a yellow penny to the blue one.
Yeah, yeah. So you spend your blue once, you spend your copper once, you spend your gold once.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's it. Now, if they get to the end of the game with them, I think they're worth 1 point apiece. So literally, they tried to tell you to use your pennies.
You gotta spend them. Yeah, you gotta.
Same thing with the rubies. Where they're like, sure, we'll give you a point for 2 of them, but that's not what you're supposed to do with them.
No, yeah.
So pretty much what Wolfgang did was he de-incentivized holding on to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And then there's also, where'd the book go? Pumpkins have changed. Thank you. There's now a 6 pumpkin.
Oh, whoa.
Yep.
A 6 pumpkin?
Yep, a 6 pumpkin for 22.
Can you play this book with, yeah, wow.
Wow.
A 6 pumpkin.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep.
That's nuts. Okay, so now you're definitely going to...
Yes.
Yeah.
And that also means if you pull your 6 pumpkin here, it's worth 3 points to you.
Yeah.
Just on the end.
Because with 2 6 pumpkins out and, like, 2 level 2 or 3 mushrooms, like, you're already flying along this board.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, wow.
So those are all the differences.
6 pumpkins, 22, though.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be.
Yeah. Right. No, it shouldn't
be.
It shouldn't
be.
No, that's right, yeah.
But this will be coming out at Gen Con.
Okay.
As you can see, we still have the German here because we don't have the English.
Yeah.
At this point, we're kind of hoping it's going to be at Gen Con.
Okay.
We're hoping it gets over here, but that's, in all good theory, it should be available at Gen Con.
Okay.
Back. So Rick and Bob, the 3 of us and Aaron, we all got to play a game called Medium from Storm Chaser Games. This is a party game that we were asked to come check out from Nathan and Danielle, and it was a lot of fun. Like, in fact, we were laughing and joking and having a ridiculous time over here with Medium. It's essentially what you're doing is you've got these 2 cards that have nothing in common, and you're trying to figure out a way to make something that get a combination of a word that they have in common. So one of the things that was played was wedding and bread. And so the two people put down wedding and bread, and they were trying to come up with a similar term. And I was sitting there in my head, I'm looking, and I'm like, just say the word white, white bread, white wedding. Come on, just say it, just say it. And took them three turns, and they did not get on the same page. It was crazy.
See, I would have said cake. I would not have said bread.
You would have said what?
I would have said toast.
They said toast. Like, one of them said better. Toast, and one of them said something else. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, but one of them said toast, but I feel like every word. Didn't. So,
yeah, every word. I was horrible at the game. Absolutely,
I was really bad too.
Horrible at the game. I was not in sync with either of the people I was playing with.
Yeah, you're more like O-Town.
Yeah, I was playing.
That's a great reference for nice. All of you that are from boy generation. You're welcome. Yeah. All right,
boy bands.
That's considered a dad joke. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was not in sync with you, and I was not in sync with Danielle, who was on my left side.
Yeah.
So we were putting words together and just not coming up with the right word. So it's like you put two words down, you put a word down, I put a word down. We count down 3, 2, 1, and you have to say the same word at the same time.
Yeah. It's tough, and but it was silly fun.
It was super silly fun. It got loud. Yeah. Like, loud at that table. Like, it was already loud enough in that convention hall. It got real loud right there at that table. And people kept looking over at us because, no offense, Ryan, you're a loud person to begin with.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly quiet.
Yeah.
So, you know, with us together, like, screaming and hollering over there, people just kept looking over at us. And I noticed they were staring at us, but they were staring at us with, like, what are those guys doing? And when can I do it?
Yeah.
And then Rick stepped in.
Yeah,
in between
Rick jumped
me and
in.
You.
Yep.
And I did just as horrible with Rick.
You're welcome. Yeah, I think it's kind of, to me, I think it's going to be the replacement of the mind. I think it's that game that everybody kind of, it's kind of the in vogue, quick party game kind of thing. And, you know, the mind is fun. I think it's not something that you, like, play religiously, though some people I've heard do. Like, I think Medium has a little bit more to it than the mind. I think it's going to be kind of that flavor of the week. And that's not me trying to disparage it in any way. It's not intended to be, like, this classic, you know, game-changing, groundbreaking game. It's silly fun, and that's what it's going to be. And I think people are going to enjoy it.
And that's exactly what it's built for.
Right.
Silly fun. So the mind, while the mind is great, and the mind is fun, the mind is a different animal because you are working together as a team to try and silently figure things out.
Right.
This is basically the opposite, the complete opposite of that, and you are yelling and laughing, and there's way more social interaction. So you have a lot of fringe things that can happen outside of the game that aren't inside the game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, me and you, we're trying to say a word, but the second we don't say that word, we're saying, well, why did you think of that? Why wouldn't you say this instead? That doesn't even make any sense. And it's going to cause a lot of people to interact socially with each other. And it can really make for a really, really fun party game.
Yeah. And what I love about it is that I'm sitting back watching two people try to figure out the same word, and it's just going horribly. And in your head, you're saying you're both morons. You know, you're both complete idiots.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
you,
this is the only word you should ever say.
You have the word. Exactly.
Yeah.
But on my turn,
you're like, I know
I
what
know
word
the
you
word.
Should say, and you're both idiots.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we
there
never
is a part of me
right,
that wishes so. There was a way wishes there was a way for us to include the people that are waiting. Because if you hit like 8 people, you're going to be like, there's a lot of downtime. I wish there was kind of a way to include everybody. But I mean, you could also be playing 2 groups at the same time. We talked about so. But anyway, it's good. I think people will like it, and something they should check out when it releases.
Yeah, and it'll be out at the end of June. So you guys, I didn't get to play this, but you guys have gone on and on about Hedara. Tell me about it.
Hadara, a.k.a. Hadara. The game we film sideways. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way we roll.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, people like to watch sideways videos. It's an sideways upcoming video. Thing. Yep.
It's a thing. I've edited it, and we'll be publishing our playthrough on YouTube fairly soon. Hadara is a cross between Seven Wonders and Splendor, is a way I would describe it, with a couple of other elements thrown in. It's a civilization builder where there are five different types of cards, and on a turn, there's a rondel in the middle, and it has five icons on it, and wherever your icon is pointing to a deck of cards, you draw two cards from that deck. One of the cards you're either going to add to your tableau and pay the cost, or you're going to discard it and get money for that card, or you're trash it because it goes out of the game. The other card is always discarded back to the stack or to, you know, near the stack where you got it from, until all the cards are gone. And then you do a couple things, like you get paid and you can enhance your abilities, but then you draw one at a time the cards from the discard piles. So it adds a different element of card drafting. And then, but basically what you're building up is your income, you're building up your arts, you're building up your war, your food, and there was one other thing that I'm not remembering.
It was military.
Military, yeah. Oh, yeah, and the other one was purple cards, which kind of do a lot of stuff. Similar to Seven Wonders. What I liked about it versus Seven Wonders is that the time it takes to make decisions is a lot less. Because in Seven Wonders, you could be handed six different cards, and you've got to evaluate which one you want. But then as soon as you do, you're handed a whole new set of cards, and so you've got to take the time to read every single one of them. In this game, you've got two cards, or you've got the discards that have been face up for several turns. So you're not going to have to spend so much time learning what you're looking at.
It's definitely interesting use of a rondel in a game. It may actually have, now that I think about it, it may actually have jumped up there into my top rondel games, those being Trajan and Crusaders. It's a very well done use of the rondel, and it's definitely an interesting draft. I've never had a draft quite like that in another game, where half of it is blind and then the half of it is open.
Yeah, it definitely adds some different strategic elements, and it gives you better opportunities to do what you wanted to do with the cards, to build the civilization the way you want it. But kind of to balance that out, because you're able to execute your plan so well, so is everybody else. So you're having to, you kind of get the sense that everybody is doing it right. And so even a minor mistake can mess you up. Like I had a situation where I was one coin short of being able to buy a card I needed because of bad money management. And, you know, as a result, I didn't win. And if I had gotten that card, I would have gotten a lot closer. And one thing I really like too, is that we played four players and it was our first game. We played in an hour and it was a full hour. Like it felt like we were doing lots of stuff. I was completely satisfied. It hit a sweet spot. It's a really, really good game. Like
it's an insta buy from me. Okay. I was one round. I was into the explanation, and I knew that I was going to buy this game. Okay. That's how good. And shout out to Beth from Z-Man too,
woo-hoo,
because she was a great teacher and she guided us through that explanation perfectly. And it was a really good time. So
that's really awesome.
Yeah,
I think when I look back at Origins, I've got to say probably an insta buy when it hits the market would be Colors of Paris for Aaron and I. This was one of the games that we played at Luma. They had an area where it was Luma and Super Meeple and a couple other groups that shared this area, and Super Meeple is actually the publisher, and Colors of Paris will be out later, I think later in the summer or early fall, but you're using a rondelle to paint these beautiful pictures, and you're using these cubes. You have this palette of cube colors, and you're mixing paint cubes and things like that. So there's a lot of like finding the best position on the rondelle to go to, blocking people from going to that space, and even turning the rondelle or choosing not to turn the rondelle by taking special spaces in the middle of the wheel. Colors of Paris worked really, really well. It was a beautiful game. Different art pieces that you could grab is basically like a 12 piece grid. I can't remember, but there's these squares, and what you're doing is you're drafting the cards from different little cardboard easels, and they're sitting up there. And so you're drafting these cards when at the appropriate time when you take that space, and then you're eventually painting on those cards and then flipping the card over when it's finished. You're trying to get two fully painted pieces by the end of the game. And so, yeah, Colors of Paris, beautiful game. It's going to be one that we definitely have to pick up. We were very impressed with it and glad we got to play it. That'll probably be one of my highlighted games of the show for me.
Nice. Rondelle movement.
Yeah. Rondelles. I feel like Origins was rondelles and polyominoes.
Oh, man, Tetris out. Yes.
Wazoo. I'm
what
seeing
was it? Copenhagen. Bricks,
Copenhagen.
Cartographers.
Ohio.
Yeah, Ohio.
Yep.
Lots when we were playing that.
Yep, that's right. Lots.
The new Rosenberg Roll and Write. What is it? Take Two?
Yeah, Second Chance.
Yeah, Second Chance.
Second Chance.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, close enough. Take Two, Second Chance.
So yeah, if you like Tetris and board games, you guys,
this is
you're
going to
love
you.
2019.
Yes. It's going to be great.
Speaking of Roll and Writes, there were a lot of, do we want to do our Roll and Write mentions here, because we had
a
couple.
Is this a Roll and Write segment? Are we having a Roll and Write segment?
I mean, I'll go take
let's
a nap.
Do it.
You
let's
two
do
and your Roll and Write.
Oh, come on, man.
Let's
come
do
on.
It. Intro music. I'm gonna roll. I'm gonna write. This is the Roll and Write segment.
I got a better one. Here we go.
Okay.
Wanna roll and write all night.
Oh,
there
that
you
was
go.
Obvious. That was the obvious
there
one.
There you go.
Yes.
Wow.
Nice.
That was good, Rick. So Roll and Write.
This might be my favorite segment.
Yeah, it's a good segment. We just created it. Dungeon
just
Academy.
Created it.
Dungeon Academy, what you're doing is the OP, formerly USAopoly, Dungeon Academy, you've got this almost like a boggle setup where you've got all these dice with different things in it. You shake it, you put the cap on it, and then you flip it upside down. 1, 2, 3, go, and everybody has a sheet of paper. You're actually drawing lines to get out of the dungeon, and as you go past things like you're taking potions, you're defeating bad guys, but you want to have enough health, so you're trying to get your way through the dungeon without losing too much health or taking too much damage and things like that. It's a really cool, you gotta go quick because you want to get the initiative the initiative cards to get really cool stuff in between rounds. If you don't go fast enough, you're going to get last on the initiative track. Yeah, I mean the last initiative card, and you won't be able to get all those cool prizes in between the rounds. Rounds 3 and 4 have some extra dice that are thrown in to make it a little harder, but it's a really cool, like great components, really neat game. I'm really excited about Dungeon Academy.
It sounds awesome, and I did not get to play it.
We'll have a copy of it. They are sending us a copy shortly, so we will play it one night.
Nice. So one that I did get to play was Cartographers
from jealous.
Thunderworks.
Now,
Thunderworks. This is one that I actually pre-ordered. So I will be getting a copy.
Okay.
I believe if you pre-ordered Cartographers, it is going out in September, I believe, early September.
Okay, cool.
So right after Gen Con, it'll be available at Gen Con, for pickup if you go, but I'm not going to Gen Con. So I'll get that probably first week of September, and we have a walkthrough with a representative of Thunderworks on our YouTube channel if you want to see what this is like. But
yeah.
polyominoes. That's what cartographers is. So it's a flip and write, or as Steve Jackson has created a moniker, the draw and draw.
Yeah.
It's catchy.
Flip and write's cooler.
It's catchy.
Flip and write is cooler.
Okay. So we'll go with flip and write. So
okay.
It is a flip and write in the vein of Welcome To.
Yep.
Okay. Or Kokoro. So it's like that. But what you're doing is you have this map where you're flipping out different shapes that you're allowed to make, and it might be water or farm fields or wheat or things of that nature, and you're drawing it on this map around these mountains in polyomino shapes, and there are four scoring elements for the game. So there are four things. I believe there are 16 different cards in all, so every game can be variable.
Yeah.
You might, for one game, you might score points for trees up and down all sides of your map. And there's things like that. And it's got a little bit of an Isle of Skye scoring system. So there's four, what do you call those things? I'm having a blank here. Summer, spring, fall, seasons.
Yes.
Seasons.
I know
those
words.
Are seasons.
Yes.
That's
know
what
words,
they call
guys.
Them nowadays.
Yeah.
It's new.
So it's a new thing. Yeah. There's four seasons, and it's A, B, C, and D. So, for season one, you might score A and B. For season two, you might score B and C, and so forth. So you're always going to select two of the four seasons to four letters to score. So it's got that little bit of Isle of Skye type scoring in it, where you're going to do the selection of the letters there. But yeah, it's a really fun roll and write, or flip and write. Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
So you said Steve Jackson. We played some Deadly Doodles.
Deadly Doodles.
And I got a copy of Deadly Doodles early on, which was very exciting.
It's good, 'cause
you
they
are
sold out.
Trying. Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
you
sold out
are
quick too.
Working your way through a dungeon, and this is I think up to four players can play. You've got these dry erase boards, and you're working through this dungeon, and these cards are being flipped out. They're different path cards, so sometimes there'll be a cross, or it'll be a T, or it'll be a dead end or something.
Well, you're drawing a dead end.
So you're drawing these lines, and you're trying to get through the dungeon, and you can attack monsters as you go through them, but you need to have the weapon to attack the appropriate monster. So if the monster's letter is A, you want to get the axe with the letter A on it. And so you want to tackle all these things and really line up and get each of the things that you need to get. It's a really fun game. It's easy. It reminds me of Kokoro a lot, but I think it's a little easier. It's less puzzly, but it still has some fun to be had in it. Deadly Doodles was a good time. I'm definitely excited about showing the kids how to play Deadly Doodles. I think they're going to really dig it, so, because they love Kokoro. So,
and I want to say this game is not out yet.
Which one?
But the Roll and Write for me that brought a lot of attention.
Yes.
And brought a lot of people.
Rick, did you
together.
Play
together?
I don't have the spoilers yet. I have no idea what we're talking about.
Seven Bridges.
No, I didn't play
it. It brought a lot of people together. There were
it was so good.
A lot of people that wanted to play it. It got some nice word of mouth at spread at Origins. The game is not out yet. It is going to Kickstarter in the end of the summer, and it's another
Bob got
route
that
builder.
Hookup.
I got that hookup from Ron Halliday. He contacted me and said, "Here, just take a look at my game. Just take a look at it. You seem
it's
to know
good.
About rolling
so
rights.
Good.
Yeah, you seem to know about rolling rights. Please take a look at my game." I took a look at the game and instantly fell in love with the game. And I had to. I get a little crazy when I like something, and I have to tell people.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and I told Ron, I was like, "Hey, I need to take this with me to Origins. You're not going. No one from Puzzling Pixels is going. I need to show this to people." So I went and printed a whole bunch of stuff out. I made custom dice and that are actually going to be included in the game, but obviously he didn't have any production copies, so I had to make the dice myself. And I took it with me, and it was a complete hit. Everybody wanting to play this. The guys from Love Thy Nerd, Sarah, Melissa Delt from Tantrum House, Derek Funkhauser, Daniel Zayas, Jonathan Cox from John Gets Games. That was awesome. Jeremy Howard from Jambalaya. Everybody wanted to sit down and play this game. And, man, it is really good. It is a route builder. And Ron is an actual cartographer. So it is actually the map of Königsberg, which is a city in Germany. And you are building routes, rolling dice, drafting dice, putting routes on a map to get victory points. And it's super simple, but so strategic. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that that was probably my favorite roll and write of Origins, and it wasn't even supposed to be there.
Are you guys okay if we don't talk about roll and writes for like 5 seconds? Is that going to be okay with you guys? Oh my gosh.
I think you need to sing the Roll and Write theme song.
Okay, I'll
again.
Sing it out as we go. Yeah.
Well, this is the Roll and Write segment.
I no longer want to roll and write all night. I'm
okay, yeah, go ahead and
about
sing it
something
out.
Else. All right, so. All right, yeah. So I think the hit of One Board Family, the sleeper hit for our group, was Echidna Shuffle or Enchilada Shuffle, Bob, as you like to call it.
Yeah, Enchilada Shuffle.
Woohoo! We live streamed this.
Such a good game.
At a very late hour. So if you would like to see us be ridiculous, head on over to facebook.com/oneboardfamily. That's a good one to watch.
I forgot we set the camera on for that. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking, man.
You were thinking wonderful things because it was hilarious. But anyway, this is a cute, adorable looking game. It seems so innocent, and yet when you sit down to play it, it becomes your worst nightmare, and you start to lose friendships. So basically, there are these 12 adorable echidnas, very well made. I mean, I wouldn't even call them minis. They're almost toys.
Guys, toys, man.
Yeah, and you've got little bugs that they can...
They're toys. Yeah, they're toys.
And so you've got these little bugs that can fit inside on top of them. And each person has 3 bugs and 3 logs. You are trying to pick up your bugs at special spots that you pick out at the beginning of the game and move the bugs to the logs. Seems simple enough, except it's a very crowded little board. There's echidnas all over the place. And with the way the actions work, every player gets a number of movements each turn. And so often you'll spend many of those to move your own echidna, move your bugs around to kind of advance. But also you'll spend 1 or 2 moves to kind of ruin the plans of the other people. So like there were a few times when Ryan's playing, and if you watch the live stream, it's hilarious, where he's got his echidna set up 2 spaces away. And then he turns around, and by the time it's his turn, the echidna is like halfway across the board, and he's got tons of moves left to make. It's so much fun. It's so frustrating and simple at the same time. And you're really going to have a great time with your family. And it was $25, a great deal, I would say, for that.
Yeah.
Game.
$25 plus that sweet pin.
Oh yeah. And oh, the sweet pin.
Yeah. So yeah, they were out of pins when Aaron went and bought it. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm sure if you reach out, they'll get you the pin.
Adrian got one.
Yes, Adrian. So, Adrian, for those of you that missed our coverage, is my friend from college, and he joined us while we were out there kind of helping his camera crew and helping to demo some games with us, and he had a great time. Thanks to Adrian for joining us. It was a lot of fun with him there helping us out.
Yes, yeah, totally. I really Thank appreciate you, Adrian. Yeah, what he did for us out there. I really appreciated that.
Woo-hoo. Well, guys, and the thing about it is, like, we've really just scratched the surface. I think each of us have, like, 4 or 5 more games that we could talk about.
Yeah, we could save that for another.
But one thing that is awesome is that we've got lots of review copies from very generous publishers that we're hoping to kind of get the word out about their games in the coming weeks. So make sure you're keeping an eye on oneboardfamily.com. Also, like, we have really overdone it on our YouTube channel. If you head over to youtube.com/oneboardfamily, we have been posting 2 to 3 videos every day for the past 5 days, and we're about halfway done, so there's still a lot more to come. There'll be some live streams.
There's a lot of video content, guys.
Yeah,
there's a lot. And we're going to be creating a lot in the foreseeable future.
Right.
Yep.
There's a lot of games I want to talk about. There's a lot of things I want to show people. And so not only with the copies that I got from Origins am I going to write written media, we're planning on a lot of video content as well. So
yeah.
Also, Aaron's been talking about re-striking up the What You Playing Wednesday stream on Facebook. So, Aaron really wants to get back into it. So,
nice.
We might be getting What You Playing Wednesday back up and running since we're back in the summer. So,
I forgot it's summertime. Summertime.
Yeah, that brings back the real star of One Board Family, and that is Kendall Gutowski.
That's true.
That's yeah.
That really outshines us all.
Exactly.
It's true. It's a true story.
Well, and like I said, we haven't even gotten into a bunch of stuff. I didn't even get to talk about Borderlands. I mean, there was just so much cool stuff out there. We hope that you'll check out all our coverage. You know, Will It Game, we've got some episodes that'll be coming out of that soon. And we made some contacts to get some even more guests to come join us for that podcast. Yeah. So we're excited about what's coming up.
Yeah.
5 or 6 different people say personally to me, I want to come on Will It Game. I want to do that.
Yeah, well,
so,
it's the rage right now.
That's
we are like,
cool.
It's the rage.
The Mind, Medium, and then Will It Game podcast.
Yeah.
We are what's it.
Now just tell your friends about it so they'll listen.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, you guys, it was great talking and chatting about Origins. I am going to go get some sleep after I take some pictures of a board game that posts tomorrow. So until next time, we'll see you at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.